Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I'm delighted to be able to continue our series Legends and Misfits. I say this every time. I love this series. I love the fact that we can look at the lives of these individuals, men and women of old, and take great encouragement from their journey. And it inspires us as we walk on our journey. The character I want to look at today is called Benaiah. And the title of my sermon is very simple, Under Construction. We read about this man in 2 Samuel 23:20. Listen to what we read. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Folks, how cool is that? He killed a lion in a snowy pit. Now, when I was younger, I had so many different concordants in my library, and I used to love going and looking at what biblical names meant. So important that we do that even yet today. Of course, you can Google it. It's nice and easy. Well, what does Benaiah mean? Benaiah means God is building. And that's why my sermon title is We're Under Construction, because the truth of the matter is that we are all being built. God is building us together. In fact, Jesus himself says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's the book of Peter, 1 Peter 2:5, that we read, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as he desired. Here's the thought, that God is the architect and God is the builder. Well, what is he building in us? Well, I believe he's building Christ-likeness. We want to be like him, don't we? Godly character, fruit bearing, that we would have a resilience to the things of this world and that we would have a resistance to the things that would challenge us. I believe he's building faithfulness within each and every one of us. God is certainly building it. And all of that is the result of discipleship. You know, I don't know about you, but I've discovered this, that I get stuck sometimes between what the Bible calls the old man and the new man. The old man, that's what I used to be. That's the flesh that still every now and then begins to resurrect itself and work in my life. And the new man is what I'm called to be in Christ. We are new creations. Now, the truth of the matter is this, that positionally, when God looks at us, he sees us as saints. Yes, that person sitting next to you right now, if they love Jesus, they're called a saint. But we know that we're still a work in progress, that the truth of the matter is that sanctification is still taking place in our life. Godly character is still being developed. We're still maturing in the things of God. We're not what we used to be, but we're not what we need to be. So what does God do? He matures us and he develops us and he grows our character and Christ-likeness that we may be caught up in his image. I love Anna Buchan. Come on, who doesn't love Auntie Anna? You know, if you look at her story, it's so interesting because she worked at a place called Benaiah Teen Challenge. But most people don't actually know her backstory, that for over 20 years she cared for our husband so well, James, as he was in a wheelchair. And then when he graduated to glory, Anna found herself in her late 50s and was looking towards a retirement age of 60, but had a few years to go. And then what did the government do? They moved the retirement age. So Anna knew that she was going to have to find employment. She didn't know what she was going to do. Now, Pastor Dan heard that there was an opportunity at Benaiah Teen Challenge. So he got an application form and he gave it to Anna. Now, I have Anna's permission to say this. She wasn't sure about that at all. I mean, this was totally out of her comfort zone. In fact, she says she only filled in the application form to please Pastor Dan, to be obedient to him. Well, little did she realize that that challenge that she stepped up and into actually created a whole new life for her of growth, of development, of understanding, of comprehension, of discovering what people had gone through in life, the ability not to judge people on what you see because of what they've experienced. What happened? Anna faced a challenge out of the blue, unexpected. But because she responded to that challenge, God brought growth, development, maturity, understanding into her life. That's what God wants to do to every one of us. He wants to expose us to different levels of maturity, that we move beyond entry-level Christianity to maturing in the faith and understanding the things of God, the challenges we face are helping us to become more like Him, that the situations that we face through people actually is developing something within us. God allows challenge and situation to come into our world to conform us and fit us into the image of God. Now, I've discovered something. Maturity is going beyond entry-level Christianity. God, we come in when we're saved, but we don't want to get stuck there, that day by day we should be growing in our Christian walk, our Christian discipline, our Christian character, our understanding, our response, and our faithfulness to God. Here's another thing I've discovered. Spiritual growth will always involve spiritual conflict. What do you mean, Pastor Neil? I've never been in a situation spiritually when I've sensed growth that it hasn't come out of a place of tension, a place of this feels so uncomfortable, this feels so unnatural. But the reason that we go through these experiences, as hard as they may seem at the time, is because God has taken us up a level because He doesn't want us to stay where we are. Here's the other thing that I've discovered, that we will face spiritual conflict because we have an adversary, the devil. Hey, 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert, watch out, for your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's why I thought it would be great to look at Benaiah, because Benaiah, God is building, but he went into a pit on a snowy day and he fought a lion. I've discovered this in my Christian journey and the challenges we face. Number one, here's something about the battle that I observe. It's always unequal. Nero knew this. That's why he would put the Christians into the Colosseums, and he would then put the lions in there as well. Man is not equipped to fight against a lion. And I've discovered this often in the battle I face spiritually. I feel so ill-equipped. I'm not up to it. God, there is no way I can do this. But look at the biblical stories that we read. I mean, what was fair about David versus Goliath? David has a slingshot and five smooth stones against all the armor that Goliath was wearing, nevertheless the size that he was as well. What was fair or equal about that? What about Moses against Pharaoh? We have the shepherd against the sovereign. We have the staff against the scepter. There was absolutely nothing equal about that battle. But the reason that the Bible shares these stories with us is to help us understand that just as they fought these battles and God gave them the victory, God is going to help us fight the challenges and the battles today, and we are going to grow and develop through them. You see, the truth of the matter is we want God to take us out. God says, I'm going to take you through. We want God to save us from the situation. God says, I'm actually going to develop you through the situation. And that's the good news, that God is with you. Remember that story of the disciples when they were in the middle of the sea, there was a storm, they thought they were going to sink. The Bible says that Jesus was on the mountain. Where were the disciples? They were in a boat. They were in the midst of the storm. They couldn't see Jesus, but the scripture says this very clearly, that Jesus saw them straining as they were rowing. You see, maybe you think you can't see him, but the good news is he sees you, and he came right there to where the disciples were. And the good news is that you may think that the battle is unequal today. Whatever storm you're facing, good news, God sees you. Here's the other thing I've noticed about battles in my journey of life. They're unavoidable. The Bible says that Benaiah, he went into a pit. Come on, have you ever had pit-like experiences? Have you ever said, this is the pit? You know, in Christian maturity, there are things that you cannot avoid. I sometimes wish that I could be saved and raptured just at the same time to avoid all this stuff I've got to go through. But because God wants to take us to a place of Christian maturity and growth and development, he takes us through these situations that we would rather avoid, but God knows that by going through them, he's going to do something in us through every situation. You see, here's the thing about the pit that Benaiah went into. You know, you can't sign a peace treaty with a lion. You can't sort of come to some sort of agreement. There's no doors. There's no way of escape. You have got to go for victory. You've got to go for broke. And so many of us are trying to avoid situations that God has put our way because he wants to take us to next level Christianity, that we would not be satisfied with staying where we are. Third thing I've noticed about this is the battles is that in most occasions they're untimely. You notice it was snowing. In other words, it was winter time. You know, wouldn't you think it would be easier to fight the battle in the midst of the summer? At least the ground is firm and it's easier. What about autumn? It's autumn right now. At least Benaiah could have been able to hide underneath the leaves. And I've discovered this. Often the battles I face and the challenges that come my way, they are so untimely. I've discovered this. You know, the devil doesn't seem to trouble me that when I'm together with my Christian friends and we're having great conversations. But see in that midnight hour, see when I'm alone, see when I'm feeling distressed and when I'm feeling anxious, that's when the enemy will come. He doesn't come when I'm uniting heart or uniting our hands together with other brothers and sisters. He'll catch me when I'm alone. He'll catch me when I'm down. He'll catch me when there's just so much pressure. Often the battle is untimely. But I'm not only here to speak about the battle. I am here to speak about how we can get the victory. Are you ready for this? Well, I'll tell you what we need for the victory. We need to remember that we have the Word of God. The Bible says that it's like a double-edged sword. It's for defense and it's for offense. It's so good that we have his word that would lead us, guide us, and direct us. That's why James says, don't be doers of the word only. Let me read that again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You see, I hear a lot of people say, well, read the word. It's not enough only to read the word. We need to apply the word. And we need to be doers of the word. We need to get it into our spirit. We need to get an understanding. We need to get a comprehension. We need to apply it to our lives. And then we need to do the word of God. I tell you, thank God for the sword of the spirit. I'll tell you what else we have. And I love this. I love the precious blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. Now, some of you are going to call me old school right now. Some are going to say, Neil, you're old-fashioned. At the end of this service, Pastor Dan is going to lead us in communion. It's always a wonderful time when we remember the body that was broken, Jesus' body, and his blood that was shed. But I want you to understand that seeing this battle, seeing this area of growth and development, I tell you what will give you the victory. Remembering what Christ has already done for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. The blood has been applied to our lives. Now I'm a Christian. Now what I can also do is understand, and this is what people will say, I'm old-fashioned. My mom used to say, if you find yourself in a situation that you're struggling, plead the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, declare what God in Christ has done for you. That's why in Revelations 12, 11, we read these words. And they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Listen, pleading the blood, that's not about superstition. That's being supernatural. And we can go into this realm of understanding. We have the word of God, but we also have the blood of Christ that has been applied to our life, that we can declare it over us. If you're fearful and afraid, plead the blood. I remember what Christ has done for me. If you're anxious, if you can't get to sleep, if you're nervous, remember what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Remember what that blood means to every single one of us. I tell you, just the other day, I was facing a situation and I felt the attack of the enemy. But I began to sing. I'll tell you what I began to sing. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I know it may sound old-fashioned, but I'll tell you something, church. It still works today. We have the blood of the Lamb that has been applied for us. We have the word of God. But I tell you what else. We have the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. You know, there's such a thing as power of attorney. What that means is that when you, it's a legal term, and it literally means that if someone has the power of attorney, they have the legal right to act on your behalf. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 29, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," listen to this, "I am with you always, even to the very end of this age." I tell you what, we can recognize that when we face situations, when we face challenge, we have the word of God, we can declare the blood of Christ, but we can also stand in that name that is above every other name. Why? Because we have come under his lordship. We have declared we have asked forgiveness of our sins. We have asked Christ to come into our life. We declare that he is master and savior. We recognize his lordship. And because we recognize his lordship, he says, all authority that has been given to me, Christ, he entrusts to us. I don't know about you, church, but that excites me when I'm fighting battles and when I'm facing challenges. I don't come in the name of Neil Cameron. I don't come in the name of Apex Church. No, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can tell I'm getting a bit excited, can't you? But I tell you what else. We also have the Holy Spirit. What a faithful war advisor. In fact, in John 16, verse 13, listen to what we read. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That is the power of the Holy Spirit to give us victory. Don't know what to do? Ask him to guide you. Don't know how to handle things? Ask him for direction. Trying to get wisdom in a situation? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. You see, we don't take hold of what God has given us, this incredible tools to fight the battle that we think we must fight ourselves in our own strength. And here's what God says, I'm building you up, I'm developing you, you're in a battle, you're facing challenges, but you're not alone. I am with you, and you have my word, the word of God. You can recognize what has been done for us at the cross. We can declare in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us. And God is building you, my friend, and God is building me today into the man and woman of God that he has decreed that we will be. What about Anna Buchan? Well, Auntie Anna has just recently retired. In our local newspaper, there is a beautiful picture of her as Teen Challenge Benaya has recognized the service that she has done. Listen to what she said to me. Neil, I've learned so much about life over these last few years. I now understand the challenges that other people have faced. I know what it is to be compassionate and come alongside others. These past few years have been invaluable because I have been blessed, I have been encouraged, and I have made some wonderful friends. Out of a situation that was unexpected, growth, development, and a new season of life. And we pray for Auntie Anna that these next few years are going to be the best years ever. Now, what about you, my Christian friend? You see, I'm not only here to talk about Benaya. I'm not here to just talk about pits and snow and lions and battles. I'm here to talk about your personal journey. You see, some of you right now are facing things that you're thinking you'll never get through. Maybe a financial situation, an unemployment challenge. It may be a business endeavor for business owners in this current season. It may be a family situation where we need breakthrough. It may be the next season in your life that you're saying, God, you're calling me to take a step of faith. I'm just not sure if I can do it. And yet that step of faith can actually be taking you into your purpose and ultimate destiny that God has for you. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge people that are listening to my voice right now. Because I think, to be honest, as a church, I think at times we play it too safe. We settle at a level and we're satisfied with that, where God says there is so much more. And if you would only allow him to take you through the challenge and develop you, that I believe that destiny is ready to explode in your life. Hey, maybe you're listening to my voice. You've never responded to Jesus. You've tuned in today and actually, you thought, wow, this is different. A lion in a pit and snowy days. I didn't think I'd hear about that in church. Truth of the matter is God wants to build you. God wants to take you from where you are to where you need to be. But that starts, as I said earlier, by recognizing his lordship, by making him master of your life. And that only happens when you come to the place of surrender. You'll never recognize the lordship of Jesus until you surrender yourself to him. I gave my heart to Jesus as a young man. I responded to the call of God when I was a teenager. And here I am getting on in years, and I can still declare the faithfulness of God. Every challenge, every difficult situation, everything that I faced that I thought the enemy was trying to take me out, this is not fair, God. You know what? God took me through, and here I stand today. I would love to pray with you. You need Jesus. You need him as your Lord. He's already your Savior. He wants to come into your life. And as I said, he wants you to become a new creation. Hey, if that's you, we're going to pray right now. And would you pray after me? Dear Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. but we've heard today that you are my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I declare that you are my King, that you are my Lord, and you are my Master. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, well done. That is great. Thank you for responding to the Word of God. We have people that are waiting right now in the chat. Why don't you just let them know? Why don't you say, I said yes, and someone will be in contact with you. What a great decision to make. Church, I believe that God has called us to a place of victory. I know that through this pandemic, I know that we've faced so much over these last few months, that it's so easy to settle back and settle for less. But I believe God has called me today to preach this word. And forgive me for getting excited, because I know we're in a battle, but I also know that victory is ours in Christ Jesus.